Hello and welcome to episode 61 of Eurobash. Your thoughts and prayers have been received. Mr. Niall McGrath here looking very, very bad. I mean, you might have seen several hundred social media posts about him having a cold, but he has somehow managed to turn on his computer and sit down and grace us this week. I mean, what a hero, what a modern day saint.
Yeah.
Niall McGrath braving a cold to record an hour-long podcast. Well done, though. Well done. That's me clapping.
Your ears hating me off the bat straight away.
If you're going to be this dramatic about a cold, you know?
I'm not being dramatic. You're the one fucking, I don't know, you so much hate. Why have you so much hate in your system?
Do you think you're going to make it through?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out.
Have you wrote out a will yet or anything?
Shut up, I'm going to smash this computer off out the window. There'll be no Eurobash.
So you've had a cold since Tuesday of last week and you're still sick?
I am actually, yeah. Sure, you can probably hear my voice. Like, I'm not, like, oh, God, you're the one making a big issue of this. All right, go on, just get on with the show. You're annoying me.
I don't know how you played competitive rugby, like, and you're this much of a wuss when it comes to being sick. It's unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, I haven't had a bloody antibiotic in over 10 years, 15 years. So don't be calling me that. I'm tough as nails.
Like, why do people generally consume antibiotics on a daily basis? Like, what's going on?
Well, a lot of people do, yeah.
It just must be a Southside thing. We had a big, big week of MMA last week. I don't know if you could see it because, you know, your vision probably went for a while with that cold. It's so bad. But there was UFC Sao Paulo. There was Bellator in Israel. There was a big week with the IMAF tournaments. A medal chart has not been released for that yet. I would love to see who dominated the stakes this time around. And, of course, there was Brave CF with an unfortunate debut for Ireland's own
Ryan Curtis.
Chaos Curtis. But before we get into that, we'll have to take a look at the news.
This is number one bullshit.
So Michael Page has got a new opponent. It's Giovanni Melello, who is making his Bellator debut on the card in the main event, which is quite a big jump up for him, I assume. Chris Bungard will also now face Benjamin Brander after his initial opponent, Mario Saeed, has withdrawn from the action. Another new a replacement for Paddy Pimblett. It's Joe Gianetti, a tough finalist for Paddy now after his much-anticipated opponent bout with Donovan Desme fell through. Ross Pearson suffered a devastating Rolling Thunder knockout this weekend at the heel of Davey Gallen at MTK MMA. Not really the return to MMA that people had hoped to see from Russ. Owen Roddy says he will be in Conor McGregor's corner when the Irishman does return to the octagon. He has muted a January 18th return, but the UFC have yet to confirm that. Luke Rockhold will take on Nick Rodriguez on November 30th at Polaris in Newport, Wales. A big, big name for the grappling card there. I'm sure a lot of people would be getting down to Newport to see that. Also, finally, and I think this is interesting because of the promotion that's involved, Taylor Lapolis has become the latest UFC veteran to sign for Ares Fighting Championship. Viventi Sports are the driving force behind this promotion, which is also being backed by Fernand Lopez, who has brought the world Mr. Francis Ngannou and Cyril Gane. They're doing their first event in Dakar, Senegal, on December 14th. And there's a lot of money coming in there from Viventi, who own Canal Plus, is that how you say it?
Yeah, French station.
Yeah, they also have the African networks as well. Yeah. It's going to be an African/European promotion. A lot of money, as I said, going in there. A lot of backing. So it will be interesting to see how they get on, especially...
Huge money.
And especially with France making the sport legal. I feel like, you know, with a bit of money there, Ares can become like a cage warriors for France or something like that. So it's an interesting one to keep an eye on for that one.
Definitely.
That's pretty much all the news. Did I miss out there? I feel like I missed.
There's been a load of sort of fight announcements all over the place, but we'd be here all week if we were talking about them. But I think you've pretty much nailed everything on the head. I mean, very interested about that Aries, as we talked about at the end there. I think it's as you said, I think it's the right time for someone to start up something in the French market with the TV deals, with the legalization of the sport. It could be a very, very good move. But again, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much and how stable this flow of money is going to be, because we've often seen guys, you know, come in with big bucks and then obviously, you know, pull out after a while when it's not working too long. So let's see how that one works out. But it's good news for the French scene, definitely.
A skeptical eye will keep on that one. but right, so
how are you, Peter? You haven't told us how you are. How was your week?
It was all right. I had a bit of a funny day on Saturday. I was at home. I was watching the fights, and the lovely Elaine Slater, my wonderful partner in crime, rang me at about 3 a.m. and she said,
"Pick me up."
A few drinks involved. And she was like, "Peter, come on down and get me. I'm in Kirsty's house. No Name's house on the Navan Road." And I was like, "All right. Give me 30 minutes to watch the co-main and main. I said 30 minutes to an hour, and then I'll come and get you." She said, "No problem."
After 3-4 o'clock?
Yeah, yeah. I watched the co-main. I watched Paul Craig and Shogun. And the main event starts. And around round 2, I look at the clock and I'm like, "Shit, I'm going to have to go and get her." So I stopped watching the fucking main event. Got in the car.
You didn't miss
drove
much.
Drove out 20 minutes to the Navan Road down there. Got outside the house. Rang Elaine's friend. Elaine's already after going. She's already heading off with two of her mates.
Oh, I can just imagine Petey. Holy God.
Look, she forgot her phone, so I couldn't even ring her. So then I was trying to ring the friend that she left with, Ray and Sarah. And I'm like driving around, around in the state, just looking for her in case she's just somewhere on the road. But got home about 5:30, you know yourself.
Jesus.
Tried to catch up on all the fights then, but pretty funny stuff, to be fair. It was.
I'd say you were like a canary.
No, it was just funny, to be honest, because Elaine hasn't been out with her mates like that in a long time, and she never fails to deliver. And once again, she did not deliver. But at the time, I was going like, "Shit, I missed the whole main event. I had to go back and watch that." But when I got home, the bare knuckle main event was kicking off, which
stop.
I know you love. So
stop.
I was able to watch that at least.
Okay, moving on swiftly. No,
yeah, I just kind of wanted to briefly talk about this Fame MMA UK thing because
we have to.
I'm not here to promote it at all. Yeah, it's the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. They had the press conference there yesterday. A bunch of lads I've never even heard of in my life. Charlie Slott, the old DJ from Fire in the Boot, was presenting it somehow. It was ridiculous. The lads like talking about fights they've been on nights out. Basically, they think that because they've been in fights on nights out, they think they can fight in MMA. They did these face-offs where they put a microphone in between them as they're facing off so they could talk shit to each other. Some of the worst fucking slaggins I've ever heard in my life. I just don't like this shit. It's basically with the likes of James Haskell. Right, Aaron Chalmers, in fairness, he's won our favor in ways because he went out, he competed, he challenged himself. Like Haskell now comes, signs, and now he's in the jungle, and now these fucking whoever they are fighting in MMA, it just makes the sport look like you can just walk into it from any walk of life and succeed. And I don't like that vibe. I don't like that message. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's bollocks.
Here's a direct quote. I've been on nights out. I've been in scraps. I know what this is. Yeah. Ridiculous.
No, it is. And I totally agree with you. And I think it's, it just devalues the sport. It takes the piss out of it. You know, guys like myself, yourself, a lot of guys in the European scene have been trying to sort of legitimize the sport. And we have to deal with this shit and see this shit. And it's an embarrassment. It is. It's a total embarrassment. And I saw for like 2 seconds, I think Al Foran was interviewing some of the fans or something like that. And I was like, I actually just got so angry, like it sort of built up inside me that I just went, "Listen, if I watch any more of this, I'm going to be in a worse mood than I am, so I better not watch it." I just turned it off straight away.
Yeah. It was just mad. That the press conference was 2 hours long.
Was it that long? Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Thank God. And,
you know, whatever about Al Foran, like, get paid, mate. Like, I don't hate on you for this.
I'm just saying the whole thing.
Existence because of him. It's promoters trying to earn a quick buck, and this quick money that's involved in MMA only cheapens it, man. Yeah. Every time. It's hilarious, though. I'll tell you that much. I don't know how people...
They did one in Poland.
It's basically like a reality TV show, you know?
It's terrible.
Like, even Charlie Slott's like bigging up one of the fights between two lads I've never heard of, and he's like, "So, which one of you went out with her first and all?" I'm like, what the fuck?
They've had events. They've already had events in Poland.
This is the first UK one. Yeah, there was a Polish geezer up there.
It was embarrassing
as well.
It was embarrassing. I saw there was a smaller gentleman fighting a bigger gentleman and all this kind of stuff in the Polish
one. Oh, yeah, 66 kilos versus 78 kilos. It was, I mean, it's a joke.
It's an absolute piss take. And I think anyone who really, to be honest, even consuming it, should be pretty ashamed of themselves, because if they are mixed martial arts fans, because it's absolute dire shit.
I'll tell you what's freaking me out a bit.
Someone's going to get hurt with things like
people
that.
People are asking Aaron Chalmers, like, oh, would you fight one of these guys? Like, Aaron's fought professional fighters,
yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Like, if they try and start making his next opponent come from an event like this, that really cheapens what he's doing.
Oh, yeah,
here. Like, 100%. Takes away from it. I'll have to do an about turn on his situation if they start trying to match him with these lads with quiffs and whatever else, and who've gone to the gym twice and are now going to fight each other. I'm not really...
Yeah, I didn't like... And I'll tell you, one thing I didn't like, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bellator did something like that, because they openly entertained, you know, open weight there recently in a tweet they put out on social media. So, you know, I don't think they should be even entertaining that kind of shit, because it's just a shocking look for mixed martial arts and obviously one of the bigger scenes in the world doing stuff like that. So, nah, not down with it, brother. Not down with it at all.
Just finally, huge
breaking
reaction
news
to last week's podcast. Massive. Obviously with Tom King's interview on there, and of course we had Paul Craig as well, keeping the Eurobash not losing streak alive, I'll say. He's got a draw, but huge massive numbers, thanks to the thousands and thousands of people who listened to
done. Great interview with Tom. I thoroughly enjoyed it when I was editing the back the next day.
I didn't have to say much, man. He was very good. It's hard to believe that Tom hasn't really, you know, done a huge amount of interviews, because very professional, I thought. Like, I was just basically,
but he's the kind of guy, and I think it's good for a coach to be like that. Sometimes it's better when coaches aren't out doing
away from the abrasiveness of the game, basically.
Yeah, but that, and when a coach doesn't get his head in the media every 2 minutes, you don't want, some fighters don't enjoy their coaches being in the spotlight, being in the media, doing interviews. Tom rarely does that, and he hasn't for years. So it is good to hear what he had to say. But sometimes it can be a bit of a distraction, I think, you know, from your own personal point of view, if you're out doing things like that, if you're a coach. It's like a lot of agents in, you know, apart from MMA agents seem to love the microphone. But you look on any sort of sport around the world, you very rarely see agents or anything like that doing interviews. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's a big story, I guess, for European MMA, with the SBG story being prominent. But, you know, after doing that interview, Tom kind of made a line in the sand, like, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
So, fair enough. We tried to get John on to speak about it. You can understand he doesn't really want to speak about things like that. But really, I just wanted to say thanks very much to everyone who listened, because it was huge for us. And we've been blown away by the number since we started this. But there's bigger weeks and there's smaller weeks. But that was very, very good. So, will we get on with the first interview of the day, Niler?
Why not, my brother?
Unfortunately, I spoke to Michael Brennan Page when he was still fighting Derek Anderson, so we're gonna have to get rid of that chunk of the interview. But lots more things of interest to talk to Mr. Venom about. Obviously, the Merck Liotta thing the last time in Dublin was a huge thing, so we talked a bit about that. It seems like they've settled the score there, so to speak. Not that he really wants to get into it, knowing that we're going to be banging up an article on anything he says about that situation. So
I heard Bellator are entertaining a fight between the two of them.
Yeah. It's going to be on Fame MMA UK too. But it's I also asked him about, because when we were in Dublin, a formidable journalist from the UK. A formidable journalist from the UK had told us that basically a fight between MVP and Paul Daly was set in stone for that November date in London, and we know now that's not happening. So I did have to ask him about that as well.
Oh god.
But I asked him about a few other things, so he's gonna listen now. Listen up to that and check it out. I think it will be a bit shorter because we had to cut the Anderson chunk out, but we'll be back in roughly 7 to 10 minutes, I'd imagine. And now we are joined by the kickboxing spectacular himself, Mr. Michael Venom Page, who was coming off that win over Richard Coyley in Dublin. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. Feeling good. As you say, coming off the win, so just kept the momentum going straight back into training, so I'm feeling good.
Has there been anything said since? I remember you spoke to us afterwards and you told me directly that, you know, you had an issue with Dan Mergliotta there. There was lots of reaction around the world to this. I mean, has that situation improved? Has there been any feedback to you on the situation with Dan?
Yeah, I was in New York the other day, spoke to Dan. He came up to me and he apologized for just the whole thing. We had a nice discussion. So that for me, that episode is now past. You know, it's just something. It's old news now. You know, that's all I said. I wanted to, you know, have a face to face with him, and all respect to him. He came out to me, and we've squashed that. So it's just a thing of the past now.
How did he explain that situation to you? Like, does he say I'm in the wrong? Did you gain anything from that conversation where you could see where he's coming from at all, or did you just feel as though you just needed to put a full stop on the situation?
Yeah, for me now, it's a full stop on the situation. I don't care to go over specifics. I think that would probably keep us in bad terms because we're probably right. Like, disagreeing on something. You know what I mean? So I thought, you know, it's just best to say, you know, appreciate the fact that he made the effort to come over and, you know, just apologize for any bad blood or me feeling in negative about him in any way. And I just accepted that for what it is. And we just kept, you know, shook hands, kept it moving from there. So it's for me, it's all good.
I felt like there was like an incredible amount of backlash because of your performance that night. Like, and I mean, we've seen a lot worse in like the Octagon and the UFC and in different Bellator fights back in Elite XC days. I mean, are you surprised when you see this people saying like, oh, he's clowning on this guy, despite you saying that he wasn't on your level beforehand? You're basically showcasing that in there. And then there's all this backlash. Like, I mean, does that surprise you when it happens? Because I was a bit taken aback by it, to be honest.
Yeah, but like, for me, it's, people's responses are very unpredictable, man. It's like the English weather. So, from Denny, you never know. You'll never predict, or you'll never get why people say. A lot of times, it's very sheepish mentality. It's, you know, if a couple of people start saying one thing, everybody jumps on the same on the bandwagon and just start saying the same thing. So yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
There was a lot of talk backstage in Dublin, even before you fought Richard, that you know, they were going to try and make the Daily rematch for London. Was that a conversation that was ever had? I mean, this was pretty rampant backstage in Dublin. And then, I mean, was there talk of the Daily rematch for this London card?
No, that's never been on the table. He always had a fight, so he would never have been. Necessarily have been ready to commit to something in London. The same as myself, when I just had a fight, London came about 2 weeks afterwards. There's no way I was going to be able to. People asking, oh, how come you're not on the show? It's like, people don't realize after a fight, you have to ever come down and try and train for another fight a week afterwards would be ridiculous. But yeah, that was never going to be on the table.
Obviously, Diego Lima has got that big win over Rory McDonald recently in their rematch. Were you surprised by that? I mean, what is your opinion of Lima after being in there with him? Did you know he was capable of going on to claim that title?
I had already predicted him as being a winner, so it wasn't a shock to me. I'm happy for him. Out of everybody, anybody in the whole of this game of MMA. If I could have lost to anybody, I'm happy with him. I do respect him as a person and a martial artist. So, I'm happy for him and his family. It's great. But I am coming to take it back from him. So, I hope he enjoys it now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, that is something that you want. You will want that rematch. How far do you feel that you are away from that? I mean, do you feel like you need to maybe string a few more wins together?
No, that's for me. I want that immediately, you know, as soon as possible. So, well, definitely in the new year, just thinking about my career, and then just get that rematch as soon as possible.
I was so impressed with your ground game in the first round of that fight. Like, I mean, to keep him kind of nullified as you're on your back, I thought it was so impressive. And I feel like the loss has kind of, and the spectacle of the loss has kind of taken away from that. Like, I mean, when you look back on that fight, do you take a lot of positives from what happened despite the knockout?
Yeah, no, 100%. I said this to a few people. I said, I actually felt like I was in control the whole time. I felt literally from start to finish, up until the finish, I felt like I was the more dominant one, landing more in and out, landing my shots. Obviously rocked him, and I feel like I just got a bit overexcited after his leg started to wobble, and then, you know, messed up from there. But I know for a fact that I can keep that momentum going, and I'm going to be an even better fighter this next time. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's funny, right? Because I know so many people will be like up in arms when they read that you want an immediate rematch after this. But I mean, I think Lima will want the fight as well because of the amount of eyes you bring to the fight, right? I mean, that's probably the biggest 100%. Win of his career because it came against you.
Yeah, 100%. And I think he's already mentioned and said that he'd be happy to give me that rematch. So, yeah, it's great that he's already in that frame of mind. I think we both have a nice, very mutual respect for each other. So it's good.
Absolutely. Just one last question, Michael, and thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I just was wondering about Mike Shipman v. Fabian Edwards. Do you get a lot of time training with Mike, and how do you feel as though that fight will go?
I get a lot of time training with Mike. That's my brother, so we train all the time. He's a beast of a person, beast of a human, very strong. And I'm actually more excited about that fight than I am my own fight. obviously the feud's been there for a little while, but I look forward to seeing Shipman knock Fabian out.
They seem to be kind of nearly riding off Mike because of his last fight, but we both know that Kozlovan Stenis is an outlier. He's an incredible fighter.
He's an incredible fighter, yeah, 100%.
Do you feel as though people are kind of overlooking Mike with this one because Fabian has become such a talked about commodity under the Bellator banner?
Yeah, I definitely do, but I actually feel like they overhyping Fabian, but mainly because of who his brother is, not necessarily because of his abilities. He's doing well, 100%, but I don't think there's anything you can see in that he's done that makes you think he should be the one that's you know, known as the favorite. But I guess he's a bit more popular at the moment, but you know, that's why I can't wait for the turnaround.
You feel as though Mike can take all of that momentum once he defeats Fabian?
100%, yeah, 100%. He's a very cool and collected guy. The people that really haven't even seen the most of Mike yet, so I'm just looking for him to just explode after this one.
Michael, thank you so much, my friend. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. I can't wait to see the fight, and I will see you again soon.
Yeah. Excellent. Take care.
All the best. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Great to speak to Michael again on Eurobash. As you know, this is where the stars of European MMA come.
Jesus Christ. That was
on the world of sports and the world of European MMA.
That was the world of European MMA.
Well, that's what it is, you know what I mean, Niall? You know, my back is killing me from holding this together.
I would say the continent of European mixed martial arts on the continent. Mate,
can you speak again now? Oh, my God. What a miraculous recovery this episode.
Just shut up.
You showed up looking like the fucking emperor out of Star Wars here at the start.
I am. I still look. I do look like him still. Look, I haven't changed. I do. I actually am quite pale, haven't I?
I mean, how much of your ma's makeup did you use before?
How will you get the fuck out of here, will you? Get on with the show, you fuck prick. Wrecking me head.
Right, let's try and get through this quickly because there's so fucking much of it. Good night for European MMA in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Obviously, veterans of Eurobash, Jan Blachowicz and Paul Craig, getting the results. Not all that surprising from people who come on this show. It's a show for winners. But split decision win from Blachowicz and over Jacare. Not the most eventful fight in the world, but he gets the job done nonetheless.
Terrible fight. It wasn't great. And a lot of grappling up against the cage, and I was all
right. I'm glad Elaine dragged him away from
it. You probably were. I watched it again last night, and it was punishing. It was actually torture. It wasn't a good scrap. Co-main event wasn't great either. I think fair enough as
well. I
thought
that was a good fight.
It was okay. It was better than the main event. You know,
I think Paul Craig would be happy with that result.
Yeah, probably did shade it towards Shogun, in fairness. But split draw. I'm sure he'd be very happy with that. You know, taking on 2 weeks' notice as well. Going into a backyard like that, very, very hostile atmosphere, very, very tough place to go against, you know, a legend of the sport. Decent performance, yeah. Good. Not getting him a title shot.
You were very high on... Yeah, no, it's not going to get yeah. Jan a title shot. No, you needed a devastating knockout like you had over Rockhold to get that.
I'm a little bit surprised with all the Reyes chat as well. I know it's linked back to the division, you know, and I'd like to see Corey
John,
Anderson.
Right? If John Jones is saying, I'm interested in this, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, true. But yeah, co-main events, yeah, not great, but like, the better fights in the card. Charles Oliveira's brilliant at that.
Yeah, well, tell us, you were waxing lyrical about Charles Oliveira on Saturday night there.
Well, it was just a fantastic performance. How many times have we seen this guy? You know, he's fought everyone that's ever bloody...
Yeah, what's a better opponent? That's
bloody
all,
bean. Yeah, you know? I think, you know, they were given, you know, Jared Gordon, before he came in the UFC, there was a lot of hype around him. He suffered a couple of really bad knockouts, and Charles finished up beautifully there on his feet. And that uppercut at the end just to, you know, totally finish him off was absolutely, you know, insane. But a guy who just improved so much, you know, we know how good his jits game is. You know, the most, I think, finishes in the UFC now, second most finishes in 15. Unbelievable, really good jits. But his stand-up as well, man, totally underrated. Really good Muay Thai skills, and we saw that again on Saturday night.
Good at making cocktails, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Look, I just don't understand how you end up with Jared Gordon, you know, a guy with an even record in the UFC when you're on a 5-5 win streak.
I understand. I think they were giving, you know, Jared maybe a chance, another chance, and it's probably going to be tough for him now. You know, a good fighter, a good story in his life, a marketable enough guy, but it obviously hasn't worked out for him. But Charles, yeah, no, I totally agree. Charles should be fighting upper echelon guys because he's fought half of fucking the UFC roster anyway. If you look at his record, he's never shied away from a fight. Didn't like the call out at the end, thought it was silly. You know, they're not going to run back Paul Felder or Conor McGregor, and I thought it was, you know, very, very silly. Like, come on, let's be realistic here, guys. And that really fucking annoys me when guys get in the microphone and do something that's totally sort of just not going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? You're a guy who's more or less pretty silent. You even admitted that in the mic that, you know, I normally take who the UFC, you know, put in front of me, and now I want to make a call out. Well, why didn't you do that 3 or 4 fights ago, mate? Do you know what I mean? So, moving on. Those fights aren't happening, but brilliant performance from Charles. You know what I mean? Do you get what
is Felder that wild of a call out?
He beat Paul beat him two, three fights back. I don't think it's a good, like, why would Paul want that fight now when he's looking ahead? You know, Paul's looking at, you know, he said it to us, he wants Dustin Poirier, he wants Justin Gaethje, he wants the guys ahead of him. So I don't really see it happening. That's only 3 fights ago for Paul. I don't see Paul turning into this sort of guy where he's doing a lot of
6
rematches.
6 fights ago for Charles Oliveira, though.
All right.
Six wins ago.
Yeah, well, Charles fights every fucking second week, that fella, normally. But it doesn't matter.
I don't think that's a bad
thing. No, like, Paul's one of these guys where he's...
Connor's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. But, you know, why would Paul get sucked into doing a lot of rematches? You know, he's done one already. You know, he's done... I just don't get that for Paul. I don't
you're
think it makes any
to me
sense.
That he didn't want to fight Edson Barboza?
No, again. He did want to fight Edson. He doesn't want to fight him again. It doesn't make
He's
much sense.
He's already fought him twice.
Yeah, I mean, talking about a rubber match for Paul.
All right.
So, like, why would Paul want to go and face Oliveira again? I don't think it makes sense for Paul.
Maybe not, but I mean, I don't know if it made sense for Edson Barboza when they fought the second time either. You know, sometimes you just got to take what's there, especially with lightweight. It's so sewn up at the moment. I don't think that's a bad show, but the Conor one is it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Right, moving on to Bellator 234, which happened on Thursday. Caught me by surprise.
Yeah, caught me by surprise.
That happened. Woke up to see Sinead Kavanagh absolutely hopping the head off Olga Rubin.
Jesus, they were
she bet their brakes off.
Didn't she?
Rubin,
like, Rubin was sort of looking the other way. It was one of those ones when she's up against the cage, just getting starched. And Jesus, there were some precise and powerful shots from Mrs. Kavanagh. And fucking hell, man. The ref did a good job jumping in there to stop it. Probably could have stopped it at 2 or 3 shots beforehand. But
I put it out, a video. I just tweeted like how ferocious the display was or whatever. The amount of dickheads in the comments talking about maybe should have mixed it up with some low kicks. Do you see what she's doing to that woman in there?
She's piecing her apart. Like, what more can you do? Like, that's hilarious. It makes me laugh when people come out with that.
Hey, man, just letting you know. She should be mixing it up to the legs. Fuck you.
She should be
you say that to Sinead Kavanagh. She'll beat the shit out of you too, mate.
There should be a knee up the middle there. Shut the fuck up. She's piecing her together. Why would she change it? Think about it, guys. She's in there to finish the fight. She's doing it perfectly well. Get a grip.
Fucking crazy, man.
Unreal.
A lot of Israelis in action there the other night, as would be commonplace in Israel, I suppose. But so shocked with the main event, man. Lyndon Vassell boxes the head off Sergey Kharitonov. Dominates him in the grappling exchanges, gets a second round win, the turnaround, the 3-fight skid, and it stops a 7-fight win streak, I believe, for Sharatanov. Karatanov, unbelievable.
Savage, yeah. We didn't predict that last week.
We were literally like routed off completely.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would have, to be honest with you, for a fair bit. But yeah, big win for Vassell, and he's back in there now, and that's going to shoot him way up the feckin' heavyweight rankings there at Bellator.
Roger Huerta there lost in the co-main event.
Is he still fighting?
Yeah, we heard last year that they were talking about doing, there was whispers, I believe, of Redmond, Paul Redmond and Roger Huerta. That would be a great name for Paul.
I remember that, yeah. I remember that.
Look forward to seeing who they match him with for February, because if you consider that he was going to fight someone at the very top of the division, it's interesting to see who they'll match him with when he's coming back. Hopefully he keeps that momentum, El Red. So Brave CF went down.
Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday. I caught a bit of it.
I saw Ryan's fight. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch the rest of it. I turned on, tune in for Ryan.
Well, there's a title fight at the top. Obviously, Jose Shorty Torres meant to defend his
pulled
fight,
out.
Withdrew on the week of the fight due to the passing of his father. Said it was affecting him mentally. So credit to him for even showing up there and considering taking the fight. Azamat Murzakhanov retained the heavyweight title, I believe, with a first round knockout. And
I saw Peter's guy. I saw Phillips' guy.
Matisse, yeah, very nice win. Check leg kick, that's his win. We've seen this so many times in the UFC. Unfortunately for Hussein Mackey, his opponent, leg break off of the check, and that is unfortunate, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Amir Albazi defeats Ryan Curtis with a first round key lock. That's far from the debut that Ryan would have wanted there. Incredibly tough task straight away in his debut for the promotion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but you know, was it the right fight to go in and take from Ryan? Not so much now. You know, Amir Albazi, obviously, you know, a lot of hype there from London Shoot Fighters, and
I'm sure
maybe a slower build would have been better. But listen, it's all well and good talking about it now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Ryan was looking at it like, I beat Albazi, that sets me up for Torres. I beat Torres and I go to the UFC, didn't go his way this time. It's going to be interesting to see how he bounces back from that. Rani Sada also suffered a loss to Kazum Kazimov of second round Von Flew choke. He was supposed to fight Dean Garneth, but I had heard early in the week that Dean had suffered a broken jaw, so he was unable to take that fight. That's a bad injury to suffer for a fight. Of course, no surprises there. That's on to bare knuckle. I only caught the main event, as I said earlier, due to Elaine's emergency phone call from the Navan Road, which turned out to be fruitless for me.
Didn't watch any of it, as you know.
Yeah, I know. But good fight again. I feel like Knight and Lobov put on far more appealing fights than Lobov v. fucking Pauly Malignaggi or whatever. I think these fights are way more exciting. It was really good. Knight took the first two rounds. I felt Artem came back into it over the third and fourth, and then unfortunately a shot to the eye stopped Artem in the fifth. Just a bit worrying seeing Artem go down like that. I think he's okay. Saw his corner man taking a very close look. I was just kind of worried about his eye afterwards, but I think it's all right. Haven't heard his post-fight comments. And to be honest, this is probably a good thing for bare knuckle, because you know, they're already going back to the well, as far as I'm concerned, making the second fight between Lobov and Knight so early on in his bare-knuckle tenure. After beating Polinaggi, he's back fighting the guy he debuted against. So
it shows you the lack of depth, I think, in the promotion.
Yeah. It shows lack of imagination. They should have been trying to make Lobov fight someone bigger again. That should have been the way it goes. But obviously, the loss there, it sets up a trilogy. I'm sure they'll do it. Because this matchup has probably been the biggest one for them, including the Malignaggi one, I think.
You know, I don't know anything about the financial backing the guy has behind him. I know he's a wealthy dude, but as you said, they're making that fight, and the way things are sort of going, and you know, you see a lot of guys sort of go in there for one or two fights, get their books, go out. You know, I think Beck Rawlings was there for a while. She's back with Bellator, these MMA names, and I'd just be very interested to see how long they're going to be around for. You know, I think this could be a flash in the pan. I've said it from the start, and I hopefully it is, to be honest. I have no problem in saying that.
Do you see that they signed the Iranian Hulk, eh?
Yeah, that's even just more laughable when I saw that there.
It's
on
good
Twitter.
That they're getting natural athletes involved now.
Yeah,
you know,
he's totally
natural.
He doesn't look like a blown up sheep. Yeah.
Yeah,
let's just move on, man, because it, I tell you, it gets underneath my skin, that kind of stuff. All right.
Just getting fired up there.
I am. I'm getting pumped over the match as well tonight, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Just a word on the IMAFs there. Congratulations Definitely. To everyone who competed. If we could just make one request here, if you'd please put out a medal chart, like this is what amateur sport is about. It's just about sport. So tell us who got the most medals. Do that very prominently. Yeah. I feel like every year it comes out about the Thursday after the event and you're like, we need this on the Sunday. We need it the night it finishes. You need to get a medal chart out there. That's what the Olympics is based on. The medal chart is shown before every single event because that's what people are keeping an eye on. You got to do it if you're doing an event like this. But fantastic. Again, it seems to be going from strength to strength. Andy Ryan, Paddy Houlihan,
Dino
who
Wade.
Else was over there for Ireland?
Dino Wade,
the commish himself, yeah. And you were telling me 6 medals, I believe, the post said.
It was 6 medals. We picked up 1 senior and 1 junior bronze with the lads, and then 3 silver and 1 bronze with the girls. So well done to everyone involved. Good
well
stuff.
Done.
Yeah, it is. Isn't it? I agree with you. I think a medal chart should be, you know, especially when you're you know, I remember
well, it needs to be a mainstay throughout the thing. So like if they have a medal chart there and they're updating it, say, every daily. Midday and then at the end of a day, people will be compelled to watch it.
Of course.
If they're like, oh, shit, Ireland are on the up here, you know.
Of course. But even England. Even from a sense of, you know, coverage for the sport. You know, I remember we had it on here last year on the bulletins across.
It's a nightmare to cover it.
The country, we had the bulletins. And yeah, and I was who was the one trying to pull the fucking medal totals for the lads? Because I was the MMA guy, and it's fucking an absolute nightmare to try and find out how many medals were from between the juniors and seniors and things like that. So I think it would be a great idea, and I think it benefits everyone if they're doing that. It's a very, very simple thing, and I think it should be already done, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they do need to make it more easier to cover for media,
definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
I do think that's something they need to work on. You know, every year we get like, oh, why aren't you covering this? Well, it's not easy to cover. It takes... Logistically, it's like 3 days work.
Yeah.
And as well as that, you can't keep track of the medals.
Yeah.
And we don't know the value that's put on each medals in terms of a table.
Of course.
But it seems to be going from strength to strength. This is still a very new thing. So I feel like it's doing great. And look at Mohammed Makayev again.
Yeah, another gold medal.
Unbeaten. The man's a savage.
Is it time to turn pro for Mohammed? I think it is.
Yeah, I'd say definitely 2020. And to be honest, I'd say he's the first ever 0-0 fighter I'm going to have in my prospects to watch in 2020 list because, I mean, he absolutely deserves it, right?
He's
like, I mean, Ryo Yamaguchi,
beast.
The guy who's met him in every final, is an unbelievable fighter, too. It's just, can't get the gold.
Yeah, it's amazing. And to see what he's done, you know, I remember, you know, we've been watching him for quite some time, you know, fights on ice a couple of years ago. And the guy's, you know, I think it was Stevie and Sean Betts that put us onto him very, very early in his career. And the guy has just looked like an absolute savage. Khabib part 2 from Europe.
Yeah, I feel like given his links with IMAF and Bahrain and stuff like that, maybe Brave's an obvious choice there. But I would tell them to make sure they handle him like a debutant pro rather than... I saw too many times coming out of IMAF, like with the likes of Franz Malambo. He comes out of IMAF with the gold medal and they... throw him into full pro.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like throwing him in against established names. Like I think Franz in his first 5 fights fought like 3 title fights or some shit. Like,
no, crazy. It's absolutely crazy, you know.
Like, that's no way to nurture talent, like, you know.
I think,
so
you know,
to learn from mistakes.
I'd love to see him go Cage Warriors route.
OKF.
Yeah, I just think Graeme and the lads there would know how to handle him a little bit better.
Yeah, like, I mean, even Bellator, like, know how to nurture talent better than Brave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Bellator are pretty good at nurturing talent. It's just that the time they choose to up the ante sometimes is...
questionable.
...an extreme dynamic change, like we saw from James kind of cutting his teeth to going in against Bandeja as a champion in another organization. You know, even Al Brexton being put against Phil Davis in his debut, like,
the
killing
mental,
the momentum
crazy.
Prospects. It's just weird. They seem to have no in between. We've talked about it.
Yeah, hundreds of times.
Face go red, so there's no point in going down that road again. Yeah, so that's everything we have for this week. Next week is going to be a big car, a big week for UK MMA with both Bellator London and Cage Warriors 111 going down in the English capital. I'm going to be there for both. So that's where we've had MVP on first, and now we'll go to our Cage Warriors middleweight champion, Mr. James Webb, who will look to continue with the momentum that's been built by Team KF, Tom King, Chris Fields, Ian Gary, etc., over the last month or so. Seems to be a great time for the gym, you'd have to say, Noel.
Oh yeah, 100%, and it's gone from strength to strength. Ian's obviously been very, very impressive in his few Cage Warriors fights so far. James, a gritty, grindy, tough dude who's come over to these shores and won that Cage Warriors world title. So it is, and I think we saw a few other names that Tom was dropping last week. So yeah, I'm super excited to see what happens with Team KF. It seems to be growing and growing now. There's a lot of momentum behind the gym at the moment, and I think that's you know, momentum we always talk about. It's a massive, massive word in mixed martial arts, and it's massive to have that momentum. So strength to strength for the lads. Looking forward to seeing what happens on the Irish scene, especially here in the next year. Definitely.
Yes. Of course, you remember the last time James appeared on the show, a lot of people were very worried about him. He was very downtrodden after that controversial draw. He had suffered a shoulder injury due to being tombstone, basically, twice by
Pedigree as well.
just interesting listening to him, you know, talk about, like, you know, he was thinking about, you know, it was so kind of, he had affected him so badly that fight that he was thinking about retiring afterwards, which is insane when you think he's right there knocking on the door of that big contract. Once you have the Cage Warriors title, that's not always how you're perceived. And also that, you know, despite everything that happened, despite, you know, a lot of people believing that Natoya's kind of, you know, them illegal kind of slams he used were very bad form, etc. James feels nothing personal going into this fight, you know? So, really interesting hearing him talk, and we'll be back in about 20 minutes to relay what's going on with the week ahead when we return, my friends. I'm here with James Webb, the middleweight champion of Cage Warriors, who's gearing up for a big, big rematch. He's hulking up here beside me, you can't see it, but he's gearing up for that big match rematch against Natoya Fredrick. It's quite a rivalry. Their first fight was quite controversial, one of the most talked about fights on the Night of Champions card. All the way back in June now. First of all, how are you? Because the last time we talked to you, we were talking about the shoulder injury you sustained from the tombstone-like maneuver that you was inflicted on you that night. How is the shoulder?
Yeah, I'm good now. 99% good now. So, yeah, that's gone. That's in the back of my head. I'm feeling supersonic, you know? I feel great, honestly. I'm ready to go put a fucking show on.
It's the last time you were on the show, a lot of people were like getting on to me. Is James okay? They were like, you were so, like, and I understand how much this sport means to you. I understand you've sacrificed so much of your life to make this happen. I mean, was that a hard time for you in particular after that one? I mean, it felt like there was a lot riding on it. People were talking about UFC. People were talking about, you know, you being basically at home. Yeah, you live quite close to London. Was that a tough one to come away with that without the win that night?
Very tough. Like, I think I saw that more of a loss than a draw, you know, especially like I didn't see it as a loss during the fight. I felt like I won, and I still do, but then when the cards went the way they did, my like initial reaction, especially like after with my partner, I was a bit like, that's a loss, you know, saw it as a loss. But I'd, you know, if I won the fight and didn't get the finish, I'd still see it as a loss almost, you know. So yeah, like, it was tough. It was very tough to deal with. I had a tough few weeks dealing with it, and then I had to just suck it up, you know. Like, I trained around the injury. I didn't stop training. I didn't get over to Ireland as much, but I just couldn't do, obviously, what I wanted to do. So I kept myself fit. And then when I was good to go again, I've been good to go. I think we were saying yesterday, me and Chris were saying, this 16 weeks we put in again. So we looked at, yeah, like, and there wasn't, like, there wasn't like 4 weeks with the full spar and like what we've been doing for the sort of like the last 8 to 10, but they've been fairly intense, you know. So I've worked harder than I ever worked on any fight again, you know. Like, every fight you try and work harder than your opponent, and I don't see how anyone can outwork me, you know. That's the thing what is a bit disappointing when you come away from the fight again, like with that draw decision. I don't know how anyone can, how you get outworked, you know, and that's why I started doubting. Maybe I don't work that hard, or maybe I need to do more, or this and that. And Chris has like reined it in a few times, like to slow down a little bit on sessions, like he'd be telling me to go rest. And
It's a known thing about you. I mean, when even speaking to other teammates of yours, Tom, like, I mean, your work ethic, like, I mean, these guys have been around the game for two decades, and they're still like, that. This is unbelievable. Yeah. So it's funny that that made you question that. That's crazy to me.
You just never know what anyone else is. I don't know what anyone else is doing. So I haven't been, you know, I grappled a lot, and back at ZR and in the UK, like, you know, all the guys there would all have a similar work ethic, you know? And then I never really was around the MMA scene really until I sort of met Chris and seeing what he put in. And I just thought, well, he does that, I need to do more, because I need to be better, you know, like he wants me to be better, you know. So I couldn't actually tell you what a good week would look like or a solid week would look like, because for me, like, it's never enough, you know. So like if I can get anywhere like into 15 sessions of training a week, then I feel like I've had a good week, you know. Like, I'd never like be like, oh, that was a suit. I'd never compliment myself that much, but I think that's a good thing as well, because I'm always trying to just be better, you know, always.
You were, like, from when I spoke to you last to when I've seen you, I saw you in Cork last weekend, I've seen you now, and you're so upbeat, you're buzzing. It seems like you're nearly vibrating there when I'm talking to you. Like, I mean, does it take a lot to get from there to there, you know, from that James Webb to this James Webb, or is it just simply a matter of putting it behind you? After the fact, when you were quite upset about it, to this guy now who's seems like buzzing for action.
It took a little bit, you know, like I just had to, like I was saying about the work ethic, I had to step away from the this for a little bit, obviously due to the injury, and work on other areas in my life. So my partner, family, friends, and obviously, like, I was sort of then neglecting my friends here, you know, like Chris and stuff. And It was a mixture of both, like with my partner and our situation going on, and with Chris getting on to me, like, you know, like, let's just go, let's do it. That sort of brought me back out, you know, like I feel like I could have easily quite got lost in that, you know, without the right people around me. I could have just been like, damn, done, you know.
Really? But
Yeah, part of me.
As in hang up your gloves? Like, I mean, it was that annoying?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pathetic, doesn't it, as well? No, but, no, like, no. I was a bit like, is this for me? You know, I don't know. And obviously, it is, you know. It's fucking, this is what I want to do, you know. Like, my record says that. The fucking past near decade of competing says that, you know. Like, I've put loads into this, and I've got a lot out of it, and there's still fucking more to come, you know. And that this little blip in the road of Night of Champions was meant to happen, you know, and it will be put right in 8 days or 9 days, whenever it is.
Is it one of those things that you can learn a lot from, though? Like, I mean, when you come away from it, I know it probably took you a while before you'd say, right, let's sit down and see what happened there. I mean, in terms of, like, I can remember straight after the fight, Chris, you, Tom, Ian, Gary were all like, I don't understand how the judges did this, you know, and how did this happen? You guys, everyone I spoke to nearly from the team had you 4-1. So does it take a different kind of, you know, you have to put a different hat on and go back and watch this fight and then try and discover why the judges might have done that?
Yeah, I think for a long time I've sort of won MMA fights off the back of, like, using a lot of jiu-jitsu and, like, almost just putting people into positions I want them to be in. So, like, you know, when you're a better grappler than people, a far better grappler than most of them anyway, you end up, like, showing them things, and they do that, you know. It's like a very...
Setting
traps. And then Chris said for a long time, you know, like, need to get out of that a little bit. And it sort of was... I'm glad it was a draw in hindsight than it would have been a loss, because I think a lot more can be learned. I'm, you know, like they say, you learn more from the loss. I think a loss would have slowed down the momentum of wherever you're going in the future. Exactly right, yeah. I think the draw I've still have my streak. I still feel like I haven't really changed from where I was back in June, you know. So my success was like my demise that night. and I just had to change it, you know, and that's what I've done. I can't remember the last time I've submitted someone. I haven't done it. I just, that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, I don't even care if I'm not even looking for a submission. I'm just looking to throw as many shots as I can and using my grappling to keep position more than to search for the next or for the back or the mount, you know. And that's what happened, you know, when you're with someone that doesn't want to like engage in those situations and does like unorthodox stuff to escape, you know, it completely throws your game out the window. And like I said, I feel like that was that draw had to change my whole game plan, you know. And I did that before. I did that. Yeah, like definitely. Yeah, I feel like a different person, you know. I had to be a different person now. Like I said, I was in a weird state of mind, and I changed that, you know. Not that I was in a very, never in a bad place, you know. You just know how it is with a sport. Okay. You're just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't know, like we said after, like, how do you win, and how, you know, like, that's how I was at. But yeah, there has been an evolution, you know, and there's been a lot of time put into this camp and working on those areas where I'd almost fail at. I wouldn't be as good at, you know. And I'm like I said, I'm glad it wasn't a loss that made me change it. I'm glad it was the draw, and I've still got my momentum, and I'm still going to push to the UFC, you know. And that's the aim. I'm gonna finish this fight, and I'm gonna go and sign to the UFC.
It adds something to this, though, the fact that, you know, there was a bit of commotion in the last fight. You know, there was some, you know, people thought it was dirty what Natoya's did to you. The shoulder injury kind of tombstoned you into the ground like that. Does it feel different? Does it feel personal between you two guys as opposed to different fights you've had in the past? Or do you try and put that to the back of your head?
Nah, not really. Like, I feel if you're getting personal, it's more you're going to get consumed by that person. Like, he, like, is the same to me as any other opponent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to go and work my game plan and finish, like I did in the last fight. I'm just going to go and do what I did, you know? Like, I dictated the pace of that fight, and I dominated that fight, you know? And I'll go out and do the same again, but in less rounds, you know? But no, it's not a personal thing to me. Like, it's like whatever. That's obviously all he's got in the locker to look to defend a takedown, you know. So that's great for me, you know. That's my first chain of attack. That failed double is my first chain of attack out of about 8 other options. So if he can defend that first one now, you've got another 7 that's going to be coming at you, you know. And I hit that first chain of attack 12 times, so good luck.
It's a big one for me in terms of, you know, Team KF is blowing up at the moment. That huge event in Cork with Ian Garry and Omran last week. Even with the stuff with Ian Garry and Bellator and the lead up to it, then you have Tom and John Kavanagh's situation, which we put a line through as far as Team KF is concerned. But it's all kind of mounting momentum for your team. And I think Team Renegade is the same in the UK. They're a massive, massive team. Do you think that kind of adds to the storyline here? Because it does for me, because, I mean, I think they're both amazing teams. They're pretty, pretty new and doing amazing things already.
Yeah, I think it's very fair to say. I think Team Renegade have done an amazing job in the UK. You know, they are probably the best team in England right now, you know, and they've produced a lot of savages, you know. So, yeah, that's a fair statement. And I think over this way, Team KF have done exactly the same thing, you know. There's not another team in Ireland that have come close to the win ratio that we've got in all aspects of combat, not just in the MMA team. It's the BJJ team with Tom King and the striking team with Chris, you know, and the MMA team, obviously. The win ratio is massive. Like, we're smashing it, you know. So yeah, it's good, you know. You've got two top gyms, and you could arguably say two top gyms in Europe now, you know, which is definitely a fair comment. You know, it feels a bit mad to even start stating things like that, but, like, yeah, definitely with the guys that they've produced and we're producing, etc., like, yeah, they're definitely it's a nice, you know, for the fans and for the gyms. I'm sure, like, for both gyms, it'll be like a where are we at sort of thing, you know. But just going back to the Cage Warriors Cork thing as well, like, you're talking about Omran and Ian. Like, I really enjoyed myself down at Cork the other week, and those two were fantastic. You know, like, they they both put on great performances, you know, like way above their age, if that's the right way to put it, you know, like they perform. Like I said, we didn't know who Thomas Jefferson was earlier, so
you shouldn't have said that.
I don't even know if I can put a sentence together properly, but they perform fantastic, you know, so really proud of both of them, and that like spurred me on, you know, like it's really like spurred me on. You see your teammates are winning and it adds a little bit of pressure too, but I think a good pressure, because you're like, I don't want to be that guy that brings that 95% win rate down. I'm not going to be either, you know, so it's a good pressure it adds to you. And that's why this team's doing so well, because even though we're all great friends here, we all fucking love each other, we all have that thing where we're trying to each
do each other.
But not in like it's not in a way where like anyone's doing any wrong to anyone, but you know you don't want to be that guy that slips up.
Know,
so you're always making your sessions, you're always pushing each other. Ian's trying not to get taken down by me, that's all he's ever trying to say to me. He's like, I'm not going to get taken down, you know. But like, and we were talking about this yesterday, and he was saying to me like, but I said to him like, when you stop getting taken down by me, that's when you've like leveled up, and then I'll level up because I'll take you down again, you know. And that's what's happening, like we're constantly, everyone's on these battles, I don't want this to happen, I don't want that to happen, and we're all like buzzing off each other, you know. And that's the mentality Chris has set here, you know. Chris and Tom have both laid the foundations, if that's the right term again. And we respect it, and we're trying to honour it as well, and we're trying to give Chris and Tom something to be really proud of, you know. And that's I think that's the direction we're going right now.
I've got two more questions. I see Tom peeping his head around there. I don't want to get bashed before I leave here, but I think it's special that Paddy Pimblett's on this card for you, because Paddy brings so much eyes. I mean, he's one of the most famed promotional faces Cage Warriors ever produced, and he's back, and there's excitement. He has a new opponent now. I mean, you know, I'm going to ask you a final question after this about you and the UFC, what me and Tom talked about, but I mean, does that add to it for you, like the fact that, you know, a lot more eyes are going to be on this event with Paddy on the card? Gives you an opportunity to become a commodity as well, you know.
I was really excited when Paddy was on the card, if I'm honest with you. Like I've actually been a big fan of his for a while, like a really big fan. Like I like a lot of I like his style. He's a good grappler, you know, and I can appreciate that, you know. So I was excited when he was on the card, you know. I'm hoping he doesn't get that top spot. I'm sure he won't now, you know. But it's such
no title on the line there.
It's so nice to you know, it's great to, like, I've been on a few cards now where, like I said, like, I'm not that new to MMA. Well, I am still fairly new to MMA. I haven't been in MMA that long, you know.
You've done a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah, you know, and it's so, like, you know, it's refreshing, and it's nice to see you're on posters with guys that you, like, you know, you like their style, and, like I said, like, yeah, exactly, yeah, and it's a nice thing, you know, so I'm excited, to be on that card, and I think it's gonna be a great card. And yeah, he will bring a different audience, you know. Like you know, he's gonna bring a lot of eyes to it, and that's a great thing, you know. Hopefully they stay on and they watch me, you know. That'd be the idea, you know. But I think it's great. Like it's good for the sport in general. I think like he's a big name in UK MMA or European MMA, and I think for Cage Warriors, he's one of their biggest stars, you know, and it's like the return of him, you know, so there's going to be a lot of eyes on that, and yeah, I'm excited.
Final question, this might be an obvious one to some extent, but it's still something people are very, very concerned about in Ireland, and the lack of numbers of people in the UFC. You've been kind of adopted by the Irish people as an Irishman now because of your relationship with KF. Tom has told me that, you know, he expects you to go to the UFC next year. Is that in line with what you're thinking? Do you think that that's pretty accurate at this stage?
Yeah, it's definitely accurate, you know. Like, that's what we've all been working towards. That's what these guys have, like, invested in me to help me get towards, you know. It's all about getting to the top promotion, working hard, following your dreams, and getting something, you know. And that's the aim for me, is to be in the UFC. Like, it'd have been nice to get the win of Night of Champions, and we was even saying maybe Copenhagen we could fight, you know.
As a European guy,
yeah, it didn't happen, and it like that's it wasn't meant to be, you know. Like, I believe
is that what you know probably made it even harder? Do you know when you're looking ahead and you're kind of going?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, but like everything happens for a reason, you know. And the UFC comes to London in March, I believe. Yeah, and it's perfect, isn't it? You know,
if
I. Is it really?
With your Irish charm now?
Can you imagine that? Yeah, imagine that. See, like I have a big following throughout London. I have a big following here as well. Like, yeah. I know guys will come over. Guys come over now to watch, you know. So I can bring a crowd. I'll be the Cage Warriors middleweight champion. I'll be vacating it after, you know, if I go and sign. So it does make sense, you know. But again, like if it doesn't happen, it wouldn't make me feel how I felt back again. You know, they were my own reasons. That's how I deal with. I hate losing. I hate anything to do with not being a winner. You know, I hate feeling like I'm average. I hate feeling like I'm not good enough, you know. And that fucking hate has spurred me on to win this fight, to finish this fight, and to sign to the UFC. Fingers crossed.
James, thanks so much, man. You're heading back to England tomorrow, so I got you on the last day. Thanks again. And I've probably held up your training session, so very sorry about that.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
And thank you very much to the wonderful James Webb, who will defend his middleweight title against Natalius Frederick this Friday night in London at Cage Warriors 111. We'll actually have a look at that card first, seeing as we're just coming off the web interview there. I don't know if the order has been confirmed yet, but it's a big card here. James Webb v. Natalius Frederick for the middleweight title. Mads Brunel v. Steve Amiable for the featherweight title. Modestus Bukauskas v. Ricardo Nocilegia for the light heavyweight title. Also have Alex Lahore versus...
Lutterbach.
What's his name?
Santos Lutterbach.
Santos, yeah. What's his first name? Jolton Santos, who we saw first of all when he fought Craig White on his return to Cage Warriors. That's a good fight. Interesting that he's taken this fight and he said that Reese wasn't a big enough name for him. I mean, okay. Paddy Pimblett and Joe Gianetti also on that main card. I think the main card is absolutely fucking brilliant.
It
on
is.
That card.
Very, very strong main card. A lot of depth.
So many stakes here. I mean, obviously three titles. Lahore and Jolton Santos. Like, I mean, I think Lahore v. Reese McKee is the perfect fight to headline. Cage Warriors return to Belfast, so I have a very keen eye on that one. I know Alex didn't really like that fight the last time. And of course, the return of Paddy Pimblett, man. And the lightweight stakes are red hot at the moment with everyone talking about Herbert being so close to that UFC contract. So really, really, really good card in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, there's a lot of dynamics here going into next year as well for what we can see in terms of Irish talent and Northern Irish talent. And you look at, obviously, Joe McColgan, he's going to have a firm eye on Paddy Pimblett and Joe Gianetti. That could set up something possibly for next year if Paddy is to win the fight. And you also mentioned, obviously, Alex Lahore and Lutterbach. Alex Lahore, Reese McKee headlining, you know, there for me would make a lot of sense. There's been a lot of online beef between the pair. We know how much Paddy and Joe sort of dislike each other as well from their tweets. I think it sets it up perfectly. So, you know, we're not obviously supposed to say this, but I think it would be a really, really good thing if both those guys were to come out with wins so we could set up some really, really good, strong fights and cards and get eyes on Cage Warriors back in Ireland again here next year. So I'm excited to see this and I hope it plays out that way from a selfish point of view just for the scene here.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be very difficult, as Graham told us in Cork. It's very difficult for them to make the fight between Paddy and Joe.
Yeah.
You know, both signed to Intensity, Graham's management. And as well as that, even Paddy being on this card is strange for me because you can sell so many tickets in the Echo with Paddy. And obviously that's a huge profit margin probably for Cage Warriors when they do put on them fights. It's interesting to see him here. I mean, if it goes according
to plan. What do you mean? Are you talking in terms of the placing on the card?
No, in terms of Cage Warriors as a business.
Having them in London.
They make way more money if Paddy fights in Liverpool, I think goes without saying.
Yeah.
They did very well to get Joe Gianetti there at the 11th hour. But that kind of speaks to the value of Paddy, even on an American's record. Like, I mean, he's well-known. He's an international commodity to some extent. That's why I think just Joe v. Paddy, as much as I'd love to see it in Belfast, I just don't think it's likely that they put Paddy outside of Liverpool in two fights in the trot.
Yeah, we know we spoke about that. I think it depends the way this fight pans out. You know, even if Paddy was to lose this fight, I think it's probably more likely because, you know,
yeah,
it's obviously, it is a business in terms and of what Intensity want to do. They want to make money. And obviously the next step is, in a lot of cases, for Intensity is for their guys to sign with the UFC. So it's interesting to see what happens. But
it's also like, all right, so Paddy is bringing more name value to the table than Joe. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So he's given up absolutely everything. He's going to give up all this risk with his name, etc. And he's going to go to Joe's backyard to fight him. I think that's hard. But I would love it.
But maybe is that sort of like, does Paddy need, you know, a big name to beat if he wants to go on to that next level? You know, I know he's talked about staying with Cage Wars, he gets more money than going to the UFC, but ultimately the dream must be
to go to the UFC. He did stay with Cage Wars. That's what happened. I don't think he's ever ruled out going to the UFC in the future.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying is it in terms of, you know, getting a victory over sort of, you know, a big European name, and is that what sort of maybe been holding Paddy back?
Doubt it. No? I mean, Paddy Pimblett, a tough finalist.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. I suppose Julian Arosi's fought as well before.
Like for European interest, yeah, we definitely want to see McColgan. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt about it. That's a great fight. Joe and him will sell it unbelievably. I really believe that. But it's just like, you got to put yourself in these guys' shoes. And you know what I mean? Like, what Paddy might fight Joe, but why wouldn't he be like, yeah, I'll fight Joe in Liverpool?
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean, but I think sometimes it's about getting a big name and a big win over to sort of push you on and elevate you on. And
Joe's looking for, right?
Yeah, that's what Joe's looking for. That's my whole point. There we go. You know, Joe's looking for it. Is Paddy really looking for it?
Everything.
Let's see. That's how I feel about it.
I'm very confused. All right, James Webb, Mads Burnell. Got to be like, I mean, if they can defend their titles here, they've got to be thinking about UFC in 2020. I'm surprised Mads Burnell didn't get the call up for that Copenhagen card. I guess his exit from the UFC and his re-entry would have been a lot quicker than, say, Dalby's, who got called back for that card. But interesting to see that Back says he was offered something for the Copenhagen card. Dalby was offered. Obviously, they signed the Olympian. Who am I talking about? He was on the show. Mark Madsen.
Mark Madsen.
Thank you very much.
Marco Madsen.
Thanks for telling me there, Niall. He was signed. But I think Mads makes perfect sense. Like, he's looked great. I mean, a win over Dean Truman there in his last fight. He's got to be thinking about it. James's record is quite short compared to some of the other guys we see getting signed over. He's done a lot in such a short time in MMA, so that's going to be interesting. But I think this is Bukauskas' first defense against Ricardo. And obviously, a big striker. He's a guy who could make a big statement with the kind of knockouts he brings to the table. But I can remember not so long ago when you were not around to do a Eurobash, we had Chris Fields come on as the co-host that week. And he was saying he wouldn't mind that fight. A light heavyweight Cage Warriors title shot for Chris Fields in Ireland would be very, very profitable for the company, I'd imagine. What do you think?
I'd welcome it, but how realistic is it? Well, Chris hasn't fought in quite some time. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's really on the cards, is it?
I don't know. They need to sell a fight in Ireland. I don't know why it wouldn't.
When was the last time Chris was in there? Two years ago?
In a fight?
Yeah. When was his last fight?
I think it was... Was it this year? Or was it last year? I don't think it was 2 years ago anyway.
Feels like a while anyway.
It was last June, yeah. Last June, and he was meant to fight Albrechtsen in May of this year. Remember, that got pulled at the 11th hour as well. But I mean, if you're coming off a knockout loss, I think you need to take time off, right?
Yeah, no, totally agree. Listen, I'd watch it. I think it'd be a good matchup. Chris is a big name here in the Irish scene, and if you need a fight... Definitely Chris will step up. We know how game he is. But
I think they have limited, right? They have limited amount of things they can kind of do in with Cage Warriors in terms of main events, co-main events, outside of Reese, really. And then, of course, if they can do Paddy and Joe, which they've already told us that is going to be hard for them to make. So, I mean, I don't think that's a wild suggestion by any stretch of the imagination, to be honest.
No, I don't think it's wild, but I think they might look at something else.
All right, be interesting to see. on the undercard here, just before we go, I'm really interested to see Corey Tafey, Anton the Pap, Mike Ekandeo against Luca Iovine, and Adam Armasinga against Liam Gittins. I think they're all going to be really, really good fights. But we better take a look at Bellator London now. It's a top-heavy card, isn't it, Bellator London? I think that's fair to say, Noiler.
Yeah, I think if you look at, you know, we always end up fucking comparison. As you know, we always talk about this. It feels as though there's something on the line at Cage, whereas there doesn't really, an awful lot of the fights here, there doesn't seem to be that sort of extra push. But there is. This, you know, the top three fights in this card are really, really strong. We've obviously Terry Brazier against Ong Bak. Fabian Edwards against Shipman. I think you sort of put that together over the last fucking 6 months, haven't you? And MVP against Melilio. Is that how you say it? Melilio?
Yeah.
There we go. We'll leave it at that. And obviously Charlie against Pietro Panini. So yeah, listen, those four fights I'm interested. Outside of that, not an awful lot. Robert Whiteford, Sam Cecilia is pretty decent fight. Charlie Leary, Tim Wilde. But yeah.
Let's slowly break it down here, okay?
Okay.
Just fucking marching through the whole thing. Paige, he's got Gianni Melilo. I wasn't really that pushed on Derek Anderson anyway. I thought it was all just about Paige fighting in London. I think it pretty much stays the same, right?
Yeah, it does. I don't think there's an awful lot he gains here from a win over Ryder. So, you know, he's aiming to get back up towards that world title and to get a shot at that world title and... I think he's aiming at Lima, who's obviously the champ, and you know, it's just a fight for me, really. I think it's just about staying active for him. But yeah, it doesn't really excite me, to be honest. I'm not going to lie, Pete.
I think Edwards and Shipman, I think Bellator shit the bed on this big time. You know, this fight was meant to be made a long time ago, and yeah. You know, I don't know how you put Shipman in against Van Steen. It's based on what he's been doing in Bellator, and you know, he comes out, gets stopped in the second round. And now we're meant to be as excited as we would have been about Edwards v. Shipman. That's not how fight game works, man. You got to keep the guys winning. And this is, by all means, for the best middleweight in Bellator, without a doubt, from the UK.
easy.
It would have been so much
more exciting, as you said, if he was coming in not off that loss. They did shit the bed with it, you know. I think
it's not Shipman's fault or Fabian's fault. It's Bellator's fault.
It's Bellator's fault. Yeah, and
I feel like
you've called this
Edwards
for this fight for
everything.
Probably a year, have you?
Yeah, oh, longer than that. I feel like Edwards risking everything now. By the kind of the scope on this now, yeah. His 8-0 record. Shipman just coming off a loss. Both Edwards and Shipman have told me they don't see it that way, but I'm afraid that's how the public perception is. To be honest, like, I mean,
I agree
that. But like, it should have happened before that. Like,
this is the fight.
And this is the problem now. Van Steenis has gone and lost in the US now as well.
Yeah.
So Fabian wants to fight Van Steenis next. He's coming off a loss. That triangle, they've managed that very poorly.
It slows momentum for all of them, effectively. You know, any sort of
big, like, you know,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah. But it definitely slows them down in terms of, you know, sort of maybe how the public perceived them as this, you know, sort of killing machine. They could have played it a lot more sensible. Three guys there that you can potentially, you know, be the future of the division, and they've really sort of put shit in the bed. And but I think in terms of Fabian here, Fabian gets a good win. This, you know, this puts him up onto that next level now, and I think we're going to see a big push from Fabian in 2020. If he wins,
100%. Oh yeah, I forgot. Van Steenis and Shipman wasn't even available to watch in Europe.
Yeah, well there you go.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
you know, I'm not going to go on about it.
If you're going to make a fight like that, you should be telling everybody, the winner of this fight is going to fight Fabian Edwards. Yeah. And then Fabian's fighting next against Jonathan, I forget his name.
You know, this is the whole problem, even to the media.
Can I just make this point?
Yeah, sorry.
Mike Shipman and Van Steenis fight, there's not a word about it. They haven't even advertised it as a big European middleweight title fight. Well, not title fight, but fight, really. They should have been talking about Fabian all the way through that fight. Fabian comes out next. That's not on TV either. I mean, crazy. I don't know how they messed that up so bad.
They're fucking up the narratives around, as you said there.
They're forgetting to build them.
Exactly. 100%. It's the most crucial thing. And that's where I think the major difference between a lot of these promotions are, you know, the really ones who really want to put an imprint and dents on the landscape and the mark. You know, we see the UFC play that the whole time. It's not that hard, really, to do it. Just get the right people in to make this happen. And another thing, you talked about, you know, exposure, things like that. This fucking, you know, Tel Aviv card was on that bloody Thursday.
what you were saying there, I was just about to say, Brazier v. Soren Back, a double champ from Bama versus a double champ from Cage Warriors. Since that fight has been announced in Dublin, I haven't heard much about that.
No?
That's a big fight. That's a huge fight. Like,
It is. It's an excellent fight. But, like, you know, at the end of the day...
I'd go as far as saying it's the least hyped fight we've seen since he's emerged.
Yeah.
And it's probably the biggest... It's one of the biggest, along with the Paddy Pimblett fight, I'd say, that he's done. And it shouldn't be the case.
Easy.
I don't know. They just haven't got that promotional arm working...
They've never had it working, mate. It's been very, very...
Like, I mean, you can't say that when they sell out shows in Dublin, you know, and they make James a big commodity and they make all these other guys...
Let's be honest, PC. What's selling out a lot of the shows in Dublin is the affiliations with the gyms. It's not what the eyes they're putting on TV and their marketing campaign. That's wider than the mark. Maybe. That's definitely wider than the mark. So, you know, their promotion's been very poor, very poor. Like, even, as I said, I'll go back to Thursday again, you know, it was on Thursday, then, you know, televise it on the Friday. Like, they're really thinking this day and age people don't look at the fucking internet.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
This is all over the place again in terms of viewing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was, you know, you go into fucking Instagram and you see, oh, there's the bloody knockout. You know, you're just going, ah, come on, lads, just get it right. You know, the narratives aren't being sold properly. There's wavering interest. I think it's the local community that, as it's just said there, that are selling out these events. It's gone poorly.
But it's
I think
more than these guys are getting paid well.
Yeah, I'm over the moon about that. But these guys could be getting more money if they did it right.
Do you know what? No one's standing outside Ticketmaster going, oh, I can't wait to get these tickets because the lads are going to make a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
I know. But my point is here, you know...
I know, I'm agreeing with you.
If they sold and marketed these guys more, these guys could get more sponsorships. You know, there could be more money for these guys. The whole game plan and strategy has been wrong in Europe since the get-go, and it's not getting any better.
A few good fights on this undercard as well. You mentioned Charlie Ward v. Pietro Panini, Alfie Davis v. Alessandro Body, who's come in on short notice. Rob Whiteford v. Sam Cecilia.
That's a cracker.
I was meant to speak to Rob Whiteford a couple of weeks ago, but he just didn't answer the phone. Fair play to him.
Standard.
Akon Wanless v. Tim Barnett is a great fight. And, of course, Chris Bungard, who was meant to fight Mario Saeed, was really looking forward to that fight, in fairness, now faces Benjamin Brander.
Yeah, I think that's the one to watch, though, the Cecilia fight there against Rob Whiteford. That's fireworks written all over it. You know, Sam goes out and loves to bang. And that should be a fun one to watch. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think this might be Sam's first fight since the Pedro Carvalho fight, isn't it?
Yeah, since the loss, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting there to see Tim Barnett as well. As far as I know, that's only a one-fight deal he signed with Bellator. So interesting to see how that develops.
Clever boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty much all we're going to have to forecast for the week. So big match tonight. By the time people are listening to this podcast, it will all have already happened. I personally am going down to the pub for 3 pints of Guinness and then going home. Sad, I imagine. I expect us to get whooped. How do you imagine Ireland fare against Denmark tonight, Niall? And remember, when people are listening to this prediction, it will have already happened.
I will, you know, listen... 4 draws against them, I think, since I was at that 5-1 game when we lost the World Cup playoff here in Dublin. And it was the first time I think I've ever left the game early. I left with a half an hour to go, Petey, because it was 5-1 with a half an hour to go. And, you know, very upsetting. Yeah, listen, we can pull off something. I think the best we can pull off is a draw and go to the playoffs. But I don't know. Listen, I'm hopeful. It'd be great. But I think we'll probably shit the bed, yeah.
Do you have a prediction in mind?
Okay, I'll go 2-1 Ireland. Shane Duffy header in the 90th minute.
City will be going wild. Denmark, and that's optimistic as far as I'm concerned.
4-0, Jesus.
So, I mean...
Put a bet on that for the crack. That's the kind of thing you put a bet on. You don't think about it now. Put a bet on that now for later on. You get good odds. I'm telling you. Fiver.
You'll probably get less than your money back, probably. Do you think your terrible affliction of a head cold will be gone by next week? I mean,
it's not a head cold. It's been everything. A head cold, chest, the shits as well.
I mean, it feels like you're listing random sicknesses you can have now.
No, I'm not at all.
I've also developed a bit of a rash on my leg.
Shut up. You're such a fucking idiot. Hopefully feel better. Yeah, I feel better now actually talking to you for some reason. That's normally not the case, but I felt like shit this morning when I woke up at 9 o'clock, really bad. But I feel
that's because you usually
I feel better now. I had a lot. I drank a liter of juice there, so probably the vitamin C is always a good thing to get into. You know what I mean?
Well, I just think like you're probably not used to waking up at 9 a.m. ever. You know what I mean?
Are you actually on acid? Like I'm always up. Like I don't sleep, dude. You know me, so I don't. Why you come up with this fabrication?
Up till 4 a.m. Then sleep for 12 hours.
Is there
hours?
A man that loves to poke the bear more than P.T. Carroll? No, you're the greatest fucking little prick ever. You're like that just annoying kid. You know what you are?
Calm down.
You're like that little, that really annoying.
You drunk again?
12-year-old. See, he's doing it again. He's like that annoying 12-year-old. Just he's like you're like a flying shit. Is really what you are.
I would have hoped that you'd stop drinking if you're this sick. You know what I mean? You're not helping yourself.
Why was I drinking? What are you on about?
Look, you're obviously very angry because you're in a drunken stupor again. look, I hope you can get well. I hope that, you know, someone helps you with your sicknesses. I hope someone helps you with your addictions.
Jesus Christ. This is terrible.
This is an intervention, though.
Fucking hell. Holy mother of God. What's your plan for the weekend? Weddings? Weddings?
No, I've no weddings. I've got to go and work in London for 5 days straight.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So
when are you off?
Wednesday. So no days off again this week for Peter Carroll. But you won't see me getting sick, Noel, I'll tell you that much.
I hope you get down with the food poisoning or something. I hope you have a lovely burger.
You wouldn't even know.
I hope you have a lovely burger. And then you just... I hope it's really nice at the time, the burger you eat. And then I hope you just have violent food poisoning for 3 days.
It's actually happened to me while I've been away before. It's actually happened twice when I've been away. But do you know why nobody knew about it?
Because you're a soldier, Peter.
Because I didn't post about it 1,700 times on the internet in the space of a week. So continue to send your thoughts and prayers to Noel.
Thanks.
For his head cold.
Such a dick.
You know, there's only so much Kleenex.
All right, listen. I have the mixing desk here, mate. I can mute you very easily. And we used to do it a lot. I'll just mute him now for 1 second just to show that I've... Peter, how are you? Yeah, you can't talk because, I have the controls here, buddy. Quiet. Finish the show. He's back now. Like, he always pretend he's all hurt and upset. And, oh, poor Petey. Oh. You all right?
Are you really saying I'm looking for sympathy after your post this week? I literally had to text you and say, listen, mate, we know you have a fucking cold. It's going on 5 posts a day.
Okay, why are you still going on about it? Jesus Christ.
Here's a picture of me strepsils beside the laptop. I'm still working.
Okay.
This is how fucking hard I am.
Mute time. He's muted again. Stop fucking giving out to me.
You're going to have to do that. I'll have to fire you, Noel. You know, you're going to have to stop doing that.
Fire me. Get fucked.
Right. Well, we'll leave you to it. Hopefully, Noel will be better for him next week because he will be making the trek all the way to the north.
I will in my hole.
You will, I'm afraid. You know, you have to start making some more sacrifices. Sacrifices I make for this podcast every week are unbelievable.
I don't want all my gear robbed.
Well, you know, excuses. Noel Excuses McGrath, that's what we'll call him. But thank you very much, everyone, to listening again.
It's been great
fun.
So
much.
It's been great fun to just get my name bashed on the show this week. The Noel bashing show.
Somehow, with God's will,
Noel bash
always stops running.
Noel bash.
Be able to leave his house again. It would be absolutely amazing. We need to start some type of troker box for you every time you get a cold.
You're such a dick. All right, just wrap up the fucking show and get angry now.
Love yous loads. Please continue to send your words of love and support to Noel.
Shut up.
Head cold. Thank you very much. Love yous. See yous next week.